Welcome to the Scent Relief Podcast, where our goal is to equip every church to serve its community with gospel-centered mercy and compassion ministry.
Welcome to the Sin Relief Podcast. I'm Lorna Bias, and I'm here with my co-worker at the North American Mission Board, Ryan West. Ryan, you had a chance recently to speak with Noah Oldham, who is in St. Louis. And Noah is really going to share on this podcast his heart about ministry to women in crisis pregnancy and just pro-life issues overall. This is something that Southern Baptists are known to be a strong voice in, but Noah talks about some different aspects of that.
Yeah, it's interesting listening to Noah and his perspective, his involvement in this area of ministry for quite a while, and leading his church to be involved on a pretty deep level with women in crisis pregnancy situations, the whole pro-life conversation and concern that's so well known in Southern Baptist life. But he really emphasizes that a lot of Southern Baptists care about this, but they typically may not go past caring in the form of how they vote politically or through financial support of a local crisis pregnancy center. But what does it look like for a local church to engage on a personal level with women in their lives who are in this situation?
Yeah, and it's interesting in this conversation to discover, as Noah shares his own personal walk, that this all started for him in a surprising place.
Yeah, it's interesting how God burdened his heart for this area of ministry, and he really brings that out. It's a great story to listen to, and you can see how God used this personal experience and this background to bring him to this place of leading his congregation. So let's listen into this podcast. It was a privilege to spend time with Noah, and I think it'll be a really encouraging story to hear. Hey, I'm Ryan West on the Send Relief team, and have a chance to sit down today with Noah Oldham, pastor of August Gate Church in St. Louis. Noah, thanks for being on the Send Relief podcast.
Awesome to be with you today, Ryan.
Yeah, Noah's a longtime friend, somebody I respect in ministry, doing great work here in St. Louis. And today we want to talk about the intersection of pro-life issues and ministry and the intersection of that with the local church. So Noah, why don't you give us a brief overview of just who you are, your ministry here in St. Louis?
Yeah, so I came to St. Louis almost a decade ago to plant a church. Started with a church planting residency out in the suburbs, moved down to the city, and planted a church that by God's grace has become a church planting church. And I've been married now for 12 years. I have 4 children, and who knows how many more? People ask that question. That's the next question when you say you have 4 kids. And the pro-life issues really began for me as a teenager. So 2 people really influential in my life when it came to issues of abortion and pro-life versus my father, who was not a believer at the time, who understood by the grace of God, the common grace of God, this understanding of the dignity of the unborn. So my dad was the guy with the billboards and the big posters and pushing for voting in that direction in our local town. But also probably the most influential was a friend of mine in high school, a girl that I actually dated for a little while, that after we began dating, I found out that she had recently had an abortion. She had gone to a party, gotten drunk, date rape happened. And because she grew up in a church that never addressed the issue, never talked about abortion, never said, we will care for you if you find yourself in this situation, she thought her only choice was to give up that child through abortion. And that our relationship really stemmed from that conversation. I was the first person she shared that brokenness with. And our entire relationship was centered on a friendship that walked through that brokenness. I was a brand new believer, and God used that season to galvanize my heart around this issue that the church needs to be speaking, the church needs to be active in working toward supporting at-risk mothers and caring for the unborn.
So your dad was not a believer in this time?
My dad wasn't. He wasn't.
But he was advocating in this issue. And then so you're exposed to your dad with a concern for this. You're in this relationship with this girl in a church that does not have a voice for the voiceless.
Absolutely. And it wasn't that our church and her church she grew up in before that didn't preach the gospel and didn't have these stances. If you would ask them, they would say that, but I never remember hearing them from a pulpit or anywhere because of the stigma and the shame that surrounds pregnancy out of wedlock, especially teenage pregnancy, never addressing it for many fears, I guess, maybe political accusations. But because of that, there was no voice from the church. And so she found herself in a lot of shame and guilt and fear and wound up at the pregnancy or at an abortion clinic right outside of St. Louis.
Yeah. So you've brought that. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I find that in so many of our cases, that God gives us a heart for a particular area of mercy ministry that, you know, was an issue that we were exposed to early on in our lives. And that's certainly the case with you. So you've brought that with you into your work here in St. Louis. So as a pastor of an established church at this point, I mean, I don't think we can consider you a church planter any longer, right?
Well, our first church we planted is becoming established, but we continue to plant churches. And so it kind of keeps us in this perpetual plant stage.
So you've brought this heart, this passion to St. Louis with you. Just describe your neighborhood a bit and your work locally here and how this issue is so important for you guys at August Gate.
Yeah, so we have two gatherings of our church, one in the inner city and one in the suburbs. And in the inner city, our zip code that our church is located is the most at-risk zip code for abortion in all of St. Louis South City. There's two others that are a little bit higher, and they're in North City in a predominantly in the most poor areas of the entire region. Ours is number three, and we have the only abortion clinic in the Missouri side of St. Louis region, just about a mile from us. And so this area is an area that's poor. There's not a lot of options. There's a lot of push toward that agenda. And so when young women find themselves pregnant in our community, the first place they're going to is down the road to Planned Parenthood, and they're looking to terminate their pregnancy.
Yeah, so it's a situation where you have a predatory organization planted right here very strategically. Because if you know anything about the abortion industry, I mean, this is something, you know, Margaret Sanger, I mean, the whole nine yards, it's a very planned organization, very, very planned, opportunity to prey upon the people of a neighborhood like this one.
Absolutely. You see that the abortion clinics, they go into cities, into those poor communities, saying that we're going to offer services, and they offer some services that are good, but not services that other women's organizations or women's clinics don't offer. But they come into these communities seeking to bring abortion services to that community on purpose. And so we partner with organizations that are strategically located and planned to combat that, to offer those same services to women that they need, but to steer them away from abortion. And as we plant churches, we planted both of our gatherings. One of the first ministry partnerships we try to form is that with a pregnancy resource center. We believe that if you're going to be involved in mercy ministry at all, you have to have the foundational mercy ministry that is pro-life, that is protecting the unborn child. Because if you don't, then your worldview about mercy ministry, the dignity of the Imago Dei, the dignity of the image bearer, if it doesn't begin in the womb, you have no strong foundation for any other mercy ministry. It'll come with all kinds of other preconceived notions and all kinds of other agendas, but it won't be because they're an image bearer.
Well, okay, so I want you to respond to this, because I think one trend that I see is that oftentimes churches will care about, crisis pregnancies and abortions and these types of things. But there seems to be a disconnect at times that churches will advocate. I mean, they'll be about crisis pregnancy centers. But then when it comes to, there's a disconnect between that and an overall culture of mercy in their church. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that some of that's true. I think some of that is a misnomer and a caricature of the church, because the pregnancy resource centers that we work with, they not only provide services for women while they're pregnant and to protect those unborn children from abortion, but they do parenting classes and they do life coaching, and they come alongside not only the mother, but the father, if he's in the picture as well. And they build relationship to help them with real life skills. And so for people to say, well, you can't care about the unborn unless you care about them out of the womb. Well, we should do both. Well, it's not one or the other. It's got to be both. And I think the church, if it's given its fair shake and the research is truly done, we see that the church is the one who's led out mercy ministry from the beginning. Can we do better? Absolutely. I think the church needs to be challenged and encouraged to not just speak. We've got to speak for the issues of for the unborn, for pro-life issues, but we've got to get our hands dirty.
Yeah, I mean, do you, so, yeah, I think that's powerful. I mean, do you see a connection between churches that are engaged, have a healthy mercy culture, and the tie to the pregnancy center? Like, if they are engaged supporting the pregnancy center, that will lead to a mercy culture back in the local church?
I think if they're actually involved, if their church knows, if they're doing the campaigns to raise the money personally, not just writing a check out of a missions budget.
Yeah, because so they're not just farming this out to the local pregnancy center, right? I mean, they are actually personally engaged with it.
Absolutely. Like our church right now with our Pregnancy Resource Center, Thrive, here in St. Louis, we have our small groups sign up to take turns to go and do the childcare and the meals for their parenting classes. Without those things, the classes can't happen. And so we call our people to not only care about this in their heart, to care about it with their lives and their resources. It costs money to provide the food. And the church isn't paying for it. The small group is. It takes time to go watch those children. And the church isn't paying for that. The church is volunteering for that. And so I think the more that a church can tangibly be involved and not just throw money or not just speak, the more that it's going to develop a culture of overall mercy in their entire church, because it's going to have this understanding of why do we care about these children? Why do we care about these moms? Because they are image bearers of God with dignity and worth, because God has made them and he's placed his love upon them.
Well, Noah, this is a very important issue for churches to consider, how to minister to vulnerable children even before they're, you know, out of the womb. And then how to minister to single moms or just women in a considering an abortion. I mean, I would love to hear, as we close out our time together, just the effects that you've seen God use this area of mercy and compassion ministries just to give your people a greater heart for the vulnerable, for the weak.
We've seen a number of people, as we talk about pro-life issues and we talk about Thrive and our partnership and we call people to be involved, they'll email and they'll say, I've got to find a way to get involved. How can I be connected to take my toddler with me throughout the day? I'm a stay-at-home mom and I want to go serve. I want to go counsel. We've had people say, how can I volunteer to drive the mobile unit that gets free ultrasounds? How can I get involved? We've seen that happen. We've also seen a number of people seek intentional employment with Thrive because they want to give their life's work to doing this, to being involved at whatever level possible, teaching abstinence training in schools with them, being a part of the clinics there and parenting classes. But even more than that, I think we have seen a really upshoot in our church's attention towards adoption and foster care through this. Because on the other side of, if we're going to save all these children, what about the foster care system? What about adoption? And we have seen a good number of families in our church and even individuals, single women, pursue adoption and foster care. So I can give my life to this. I can do this. And it comes through the understanding of the Imago Dei. It comes through the understanding of having compassion and mercy, not throwing out accusations, judging a person's situation, but saying, I realize you're in a tough position. I'm very thankful you have chosen life. Now I'm going to come along on the other side so that your heart can be settled and peaceful, knowing this child that you brought into the world is loved and cared for well.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. I mean, it's like you said earlier at the first of the podcast, it's we are called to speak. We're called to speak and to advocate on behalf of the unborn child, but to more than that, to personally get involved. And the effects that you see in your church of people who have really taken hold of this and how that leads to other areas of involvement and mercy and compassion, such as adoption, foster care, and other areas I know that you're engaged in here at August Gate. So it's a fascinating story, and I really appreciate your time just helping us think through this issue of overall the image of God, giving dignity to the voiceless, that we would be the church who engages in mercy and compassion ministries on behalf of those who need us, and we're called by God to serve them in these ways. And it's just fascinating to see how you guys have engaged here in St. Louis. So thanks for your time, Noah.
Now, thanks, Ryan. Good to be with you.
Ryan, that was a great conversation with Noah. And I think he really challenges us to think about how can we be more than activists? How can we be active in this issue?
Yeah, it's a clear call for God's people to do what Scripture says, which is to care for the least of these, to care for people around us in their brokenness, in their hurt, in their pain, and to be personally involved. Yeah, it's more than political voting and financial support. It's being personally involved in people's lives. It's a call to that.
Yeah, so it just makes me wonder what are we to do beyond the prevented abortion as the church?
Yeah, I think it's like other areas of ministry. It's a call from God to walk with the vulnerable, to walk with the least of these, to live life with them. That's the overall picture of how churches should process this area of ministry. And then it really ties in. It's interesting to me how sometimes people will separate this area of concern in ministry from other areas, but it really does tie into things such as adoption and foster care, jobs, literacy. These things tie together. So if you're going to walk with a young woman who's in this situation, she chooses not to abort the child, and how do you help her just step out of that into a healthy life, and obviously sharing the gospel and helping her grow in her faith in Christ is a part of that. But are you willing to adopt or foster a child if she can't care for the child? Are you willing to do something like a jobs training, a jobs for life opportunity for her? Are you, you know, is there someone in the church, a stay-at-home mom or a grandmother in the church that can care for the child while she's getting education or getting a job? Are you willing to do some of these difficult, tangible things that will make her choice easier to choose life? And that's really what it means to walk with someone and make a disciple is you're sharing the gospel, you're helping her grow in her knowledge of Scripture and of the Lord, but you're also helping her experience peace in these other ways, in these tangible ways. So those are some of the ideas that I've heard Noah talk about, and some of the ways that I've seen churches minister to women in a crisis pregnancy situation.
Yeah, because we know from studies, there are many studies that have been done that tell us that there are a large number of women in our churches who either did not have an abortion or did have an abortion. And I think Noah is challenging us to think long beyond that pregnancy and that crisis that came into a young woman's life and also a young man's life as well. Sometimes that's overlooked as well. But really, he challenges us to think, how are we going to posture ourselves to hurting women and these children, these beautiful children that are made in the image of God? They are to be image bearers. And so I really like that Noah challenged us on that.
Yeah. It's a good call for us to hear and to act on, and to really, we say we want to be compassionate. We say we want to be merciful. And you're right. I mean, there are women right in our own congregations who have either considered an abortion and chosen not to do that, or have made that choice. What does it look like for them to walk through repentance and rebuilding their lives? And is the church is this a topic that we're not willing to consider because it's too uncomfortable, or is it an area of ministry we're not willing to really address corporately because it's something that we don't want to talk about, or is it something that we see as, well, this is what God has placed in front of us, and what do we do about it?
Yeah, and you know, I would just say as well, one of the things that stands out to me about Noah's testimony is how God actually called him into mercy and compassion ministry when he was a teenager. And I think that's overlooked in our churches today. Our youth just by virtue of the culture that we are in, they are already in incredible amounts of brokenness. And so the question becomes, how are we as churches helping our youth be equipped to really serve as vessels of mercy and ministry? I think that's overlooked.
Yeah, I mean, we know this from the Apostle Paul telling Timothy not to let others look down on you because of your youth. God has placed a missionary force right in our churches that we often think, well, they're too young or they don't understand the complexities of life, but we discount the missionaries that youth can be to their neighbor, people who are in their own age group. If God gives a compassionate heart to someone in your church and they have a friend who is going through this situation, the Lord can use them in some situations more than he can use an adult, and use that situation to call them, to give them a compassionate heart. Because when you see your friend who is deeply devastated by some life circumstance, that's often what God uses to awaken us to ministry. And it happened in the life of Noah. And so we really need to see that, to be open. We awaken our people, we awaken our youth to the needs of ministry through very real life situations, like a teen pregnancy or a young post-teen pregnancy. And God can use that to set someone on a trajectory of a life in ministry, like he did here with Noah.
Yeah, I like what one of our coworkers, Al Gilbert, says. When you see what Jesus sees, you'll do what Jesus says. And Noah, even at a young age, saw what Jesus sees. And so, yeah, today was a great conversation. We're so glad you joined us for the Sin Relief Podcast. I'm Lorna Bias with Ryan West, and we'll see you on our next edition.
Thank you for listening to the Send Relief Podcast, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast, visit our website at namb.net/sendrelief.